Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You assert yourself. This is right. This is wrong. It's inside the law. I can get away with it. It's by might. Might makes right. And therefore, all of a sudden, the Western world for hundreds of years now, we do not look up. We primarily look within. It's inbred in our educational process. And then you ask someone, even who is a Christian, and ask them, what does a healthy family look like? What are the traits and the characteristics of a healthy family, of a healthy marriage?
Today, Dr. Young shares his message, The Secret to a Healthy Family, with proven truth from God's Word to help you create a home that's filled with peace and joy. Stay tuned. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you The Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Secret to a Healthy Family.
You know, it's possible to go to church, wonderful time of prayer and celebration together, and not worship. We can go and be lifted up and inspired, but yet somehow not understand and not receive the word what God has for us. We say the victory is ours. It is in Jesus Christ, but yet there are steps between here and complete victory of heaven. And it's those steps we need to make sure we nail down in biblical truth. So let's prepare for the teaching of the word together. Father, today is a day of memories of our land, of America, of the price that has been paid in the shed blood of thousands upon thousands of men and women who have died so that we might have a nation under God, a republic with democratic principles involved. And Lord, we know a great price has been paid, but we know it must continually be paid by us, right where we are. So this place will continue to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. Bring us off the bench and put us in the game of reaching America and then the world for Christ. How we need to go back to the rock from which we were hewn. Lord, now we're here to do business with you. You speak, let me get out of the way, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps you missed the article about Duke University. It costs over $56,000 a year to attend Duke. That includes room and board and tuition. But they made an announcement this week. The announcement was that tuition will go up, fees for kids next year, in order to provide sex change operations for students that desire it. And the debate was not concerning the morality of a sex change. The debate was over the increased fee. And it was pointed out that this is 0.3% of what they pay, about $150 or $60 more per student. And when you're paying $56,000, they said, what's another $150 in order to provide students with the ability to have their gender changed? That was a debate, not over the morality, not over the idea that, you know, God made a mistake and he meant to create Joan, but he created John, and therefore we're going to correct God's error. You read about that, and you shake your head and ask the question we've been asking in recent days. What has happened to America? I thought kids went to school to get an education. I must have missed something somewhere. What's happened to America? What is happening to America? We dealt with that in our study. We went back in history and saw that from the first century forward, that all the Western world basically looked up to get their morals and their values. They looked to God. They looked out into the transcendent world and said, the transcendent world gives us objective values that are written down in the book. And then philosophers said, you still have objective truth that comes through the laws of nature. And therefore, for hundreds of years, there was no real debate, though the world didn't adhere to it, but there was no real debate about basically what was right and what was wrong. But then we come to the 18th century, and that was the Enlightenment, which actually began to lead all the Western world into an era of increasing darkness. Because we looked at those three philosophers that brought us rationalism, romanticism, and perfectionism, and the idea that now you no longer look up to get truth and values and absolutes, now you look within. And we looked at Immanuel Kant. He says you look to your mind. A lot of people do that today in the 21st century, do they not? Is that right? Is that wrong? I'll think about it. I'll figure it out. I'll use my brain, and therefore I'll come to the right moral decision. We look to our mind. We look within. We don't look up. Then another philosopher came along, and Rousseau said, no, you don't look up to get values. You don't look at your mind. You look at your heart. You look at your emotions. You say, if it feels all right, it certainly must be all right. Isn't that how, you know, haven't you? It feels so good, and this, it must be okay. So we look at our emotions. And then along came Nietzsche, and Nietzsche says, oh, no, you don't look up because there's no God up there. And for a long time, for several months, there were those headlines back there that said, God is dead. Somebody asked Billy Graham about it. He says, you know, I didn't know that. I talked to him this morning. Said, God is dead, and therefore you get your values by power, by might. You assert yourself. This is right. This is wrong. It's inside the law. I can get away with it. It's by might. Might makes right. And therefore, all of a sudden, the Western world for hundreds of years now falling, we do not look up. We primarily look within. We follow these rationalistic philosophers. So much of our culture, it's inbred in our educational process. We moved to the 60s and the 70s, and now we awake in the 21st century, look around and said, what in the world is happening? And then you ask someone, even who is a Christian, and ask them, what does a healthy family look like? So, you know, I'm not sure. What are the traits and the characteristics of a healthy family, of a healthy marriage? You say, well, I'm not clear on that. A secular author by the name of Dolores Curran has written a book, Traits of a Healthy Family, and here's the list that she gave us. Look at it on your screens there. There's a list. You see them there? She lists 15 of them. Communicates, listens, affirms, and supports. Number 12, values service to others. shares leisure time, and all the way through to 15 different characteristics of a healthy family. And you could read over all of those, and I would ask you the question, as you read over these, you won't have time to do it now, was this particular characteristic trait of a healthy family a part of the family that you were brought up in? And we'd read it and say, well, this one, didn't get this one, we didn't have this one. Then I'd ask the question, are these traits, do they describe the family that you're now engaged in? And we'd go through and say, well, I made a F on this one and a B minus on this one. And we'd go through and grade ourselves and say, you know, some of these and some do not. But this is totally secular. Now, I looked at these and I said, you know, I think she's forgotten a couple at least, and there are others. One would be boundaries. And so I added boundaries. See there at the bottom? A healthy family has boundaries that they operate inside of. Then I said, well, if you have boundaries, you better have discipline. So I added discipline, appropriate discipline to time and age and situation and offense. Discipline, if we cross the boundaries, there has to be discipline in a healthy family. Then I said, if this is a healthy family, these characteristics are fine, but the whole family, these traits must be surrounded by irrational love. So I put irrational love around all of it. And what is irrational love? How do we look at love that's out of sight, love that's inexplicable, love that's beyond anything we can imagine? Where does that come from? It's the kind of love we receive in the love of God has for you and me. That's irrational love. We've deceived him. We've broken promises. We're hypocritical. We've struck out. We've lied. We've stolen. We've lusted. We've gone back. But God just keeps on loving us with an irrationality that's out of this world, that's supernatural, doesn't he? It's amazing how he puts up with you and how he puts up with me. Irrational love. And that's from Christ. So therefore, we see our list. We buy off on our list. And I think you expect me to stand up and say, all right, you want a healthy family, a healthy marriage. Here's the list. Where are you failing? Try harder. Isn't that what you expect? That's not what you're going to get. Because if you've been around for a while, we never get there by trying harder. Have you noticed that? Huh? To write down our New Year's resolutions, I've got a perfect score on all of my New Year's resolutions. I failed every single time. So, we just throw up our hands and say, you know, what's the use? You know, we can't improve. We're locked in here. We're surrounded by the irrational love of God. But I want to go back and let us look at to how we can indeed have a healthy family. We have to go back to the beginning, all the way back to Genesis. Look at Genesis. You gentlemen can find that. It's the first book in the Bible. Look at chapter 1. Chapter 1 in Genesis, for just discussion and understanding, is basically tells us what God did in creation. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 is a commentary basically on chapter 1, which illustrates and tells us something of the purpose that was behind God's creation and how it all began to transpire. So chapter 1, this is what God did in creation. It's good, 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 it's very good. Then he said, it's not good for man to be alone, the first not good in the Bible. And you move to chapter 2 as a commentary. And then you have a picture in chapter 2 of the pre-apple garden. Now, don't write me and say, the Bible doesn't say it's an apple. I know that. It's a fruit, but we're going to use the apple, okay? That's all right. The pre-apple garden. What's it like? Oh, listen. Look at verse 22, chapter 2. The Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to him. By the way, remember, brought her to him. That's a picture in weddings when the father brings the bride to the altar to give to the groom. That is God bringing Eve to Adam. That's all presupposed here, all taught here. Then verse 22, the man said, now, God, you have provided with me a slave to meet all my needs and to be at my beck and call 24/7 and to do everything I want to do and to be totally bowed before me at all times. No. What does it say? When Adam saw Eve, he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And this verse 24, for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, that the man and his wife were both naked and they were unashamed. How beautiful that is. In the pristine garden of Eden, pre-apple, Adam and Eve became one, and they were mutually in charge. They were mutually superintendent. They were the ruler. They had supremacy, and they reflected together the image of God. And in their love and their two becoming one, they reflected God's perfect image in that garden. What a magnificent thing we can't even imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, either has entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. They love God. God loved them. They had the whole universe under their control. What a magnificent, pristine world of love and freedom and spontaneity and creativity and joy and celebration and worship and praise. God met with him daily, continuously. What a moment in history. Now you have mutuality. You have mutual supremacy over all of creation. And intimacy. Two become one. No shame. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Pre-apple. Now the fall. Oh, the fall. That decisive moment in history of civilization and the creation, when something unbelievably tragic took place, the fall of mankind, and we read about it with words that are hard to believe. Verse 6, chapter number 3, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, the woman saw the tree was good for food. God said, you can eat of all the trees, don't eat of this tree. The woman saw it was good for food. Oh, it was good for food. She figured that out in her mind, didn't she? She looked to her mind. Oh, me, have we run into Kant again in Genesis? She decided it was good for food. She used her head. She used her common sense. That tree's okay. It's good for food. She lost her mind. Then she saw there was a delight to her eyes, delightful. Oh, emotion, passion, the heart. Man, we're back with Rousseau again. Man, she saw a delight in her eyes. Ooh, emotion must be all right because it'll taste good and it'll feel good. Okay, that's that. I will make my decision about right and wrong on that basis. And look at the next thing. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Oh, wisdom is power. Oh, I'll be wise. I'll be controlled. What happened in the fall here? What happened? It is Adam and Eve decided that we're tired of being dependent on God. We want to be independent from God. We don't want to be subject to what God wants. We want to run our own show and run our own lives. And that's the same guys that Satan uses to bring you down and to bring me down. Satan has no new game plans, ladies and gentlemen, because it keeps on working every time with human beings. Exactly in the garden. You go all the way to 1 John chapter number 2. What is the deal? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the same thing. Man, use your mind to decide what's right and wrong. Use your feelings to decide what's right and wrong. Boy, if you're powerful enough to do it, you can do it. Same play, same game plan, over and over and over again. You can trace it through history in the Bible and the history of your life and my life. The fall of man. The fall of man. And now everything changed. Everything changed. And look at the curse. We see this in chapter number 3, verse number 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In the pain you will bring forth children. This is it. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. There's the curse. Your desire will be for your husband. That's the curse on the woman. And by the way, the word desire here is the same word found in the very next chapter in the 7th verse. It says, God says, Cain, sin is crouching at your door and sin desires you. The word sin desires to control you. And the idea of the woman and desire is not related to a sexual thing. It's the idea here, the curse is the woman wants to control things. And then in the next verse, the curse on the man is the man wants to rule over the woman. So you have both of them wanting to be in charge. That's the curse that came upon us. And by the way, we don't have to live under that curse, but a lot of us do. I found a wonderful little acrostic about the curse in a little book. I want you to look at this acrostic. The C is for controlling. We try to control one another, and how we are skillful at that. How do we try to control? Some try to control by manipulation. Others try to control by declaring and being absolute. I can't tell you how many wives have come to me and said, oh, Pastor, my husband won't go to church with me, and he used to go, and he's not loving me the way Christ loved the church. And she'll quote all the wife verses to me to get at his pastor or husband so she can control him. Oh, yeah, that's what it's about, ladies. And then I can't tell you how many hundreds of men have come. I'll tell you, Pastor, talk to my wife. She won't submit herself to me. See, they're husband verses and wife verses. The wife comes with her verses, the husband comes. And both of them, the bottom line is, they're trying to control their mate. Oh, yeah. That's the curse, controlling. Look, I could spend a week on that. You, unforgiving. We don't forgive because, man, we have that little ace in our pocket we can pull out anytime. I'm telling you this, and you remember when and what and how. And we don't forgive. We just kind of keep that back. Oh, we may say, oh, I forgive you, but we don't. We hold it back. You're living under the curse. Look how we respond. Look how we react. You ever walk around on tiptoes with your wife, your husband? Ooh, man, if I say this, she'd go, boo. We react. You're under the curse. You're under the curse. And look at the S up here. Shaming. Oh, I'm just so embarrassed about you, what you did, how you looked. Oh, we just all trying to get on top and run the show. That's what it's all about. This is a curseful family, a curseful marriage. Then ego-driven. You know, the important thing is performance. How do we look on the outside? How do things happen? You see, prior to the fall, we know the little triangle there. You have God on top, Adam and Eve on the bottom, right? That's prior to the fall. Adam on top, Adam and Eve on the bottom. But then following that, it is reversed. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve on top and God is on the bottom.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares how to discipline your kids God's way. You won't want to miss that.